Good morning. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. I am thankful to be here this morning with each one of you brothers and sisters. I was very thankful for the opening and the children's lesson. They're going to coincide very well with what I have to share today. So thank you, brothers, for spending time seeking God this week. I was paging through my Bible one morning, and it's a parallel Bible, and had a different translation in there. And one of the headings said, a life that is pleasing to God. So, and I stopped and I thought about that and I looked into that and I asked myself, what does that mean to me? So when Mose asked me to share that message here, I felt direction from God to go there. So I went back and started looking through that and started studying into that. And that wasn't planned to happen. So I felt direction from God to go there. So, and I realized as I put this message together that I'm gonna have about as much on a life not pleasing to God as what I'm gonna have a life pleasing to God. So I thank you very much for all your opening thoughts this morning. They really spoke to my heart and confirmed in my heart that I feel that I heard from God on this. So thank you. And I know this morning, as we all know that it would please God if we put our faith in God and put our trust in God, and we had that developed that relationship with God that He desires for us to have, and we have that heart that's bent towards God, and we're all, it's God's heart this morning that we're saved, and we made peace with Him, and we had our sins forgiven. That's God's heart this morning, and I know that. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm not going down that line. Today we're going to assume this is for the Christians. This is for those who had their sins washed in the blood of the Lamb, had made their things right with God, and already repented, born again. We're going to assume the message is for those people today. So maybe we'll come to the Lord in prayer as I get started here. Yes, eternal Father in heaven, Lord, as I come before you this morning, I thank you, Lord, for being a good God. I thank you this morning that you care about us. I thank you that I'm thankful this morning that you have our best interest in mind. I do pray, Lord, as I endeavor to share here, that you give me clear thoughts, articulated thoughts, inspiring thoughts, thoughts that come from you as I share here, Lord. I'm banking on you this morning, Lord. I'm putting my trust in you. I pray, Father, that you help us and you help me as I share. I pray for the ears that hear, that they could hear the things that you want them to hear this morning, Lord. And I pray that my tongue would speak the things that you want me to speak. I do thank you. I love you this morning. I just trust in you. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Now, what does that look like this morning? What do we have to do? John shared this morning that we do what we already know. So what do we do this morning? What do we have to do to live a life pleasing to God? What does that look like for each one of us? You know, I know this morning, if we're a young person here, let's take one moment and let's ask ourselves, what kind of life could I live this morning that would be pleasing to my earthly mom and dad? What would my life look like if I did that? And as a dad and mom this morning, we could ask ourselves this question: what kind of life could my children live this morning? What kind of life would we want our children to live that would be pleasing to us? And I know we'll find many parallels this morning in a life pleasing to God and a life pleasing to our dad and mom. And the same way that I displeased my mom and dad in my younger years was the same way I was displeasing God. And I could sit here and I could talk all day. I could share with you all day about the regrets I had when I came to the um, when I came to Christ about the way I lived when I was younger. I could sit here and talk all day about all the things that I did that displeased my mom and dad. How many heartaches I brought upon their life, and how many sleepless nights I caused them, and how much time I caused them on their knees. I could tell you many, many stories of things that displeased my mom and dad. And when I was displeasing my mom and dad in those days, I was displeasing God. So those things, they don't leave far from my heart at times. When I think of my mom and dad, I think about my younger years. But you're looking at a man that's very thankful today. You're looking at a brother that's very thankful that he had the opportunity. He had an opportunity to go to my mom and dad one morning. It was cold. It was snowing. I think it was 2014 or 2015. I was on my knees. I was seeking God. My heart was drawn close to God, and I was seeking Him with everything I had. And I felt one morning as I was praying, I felt God's presence, or I should say, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard from God. I heard Him tell me, "Melvin, you need to go talk to your dad and mom. You need to go talk to them about these younger years and about the things that I left very muddy before them, as I was claiming to be a Christian and I was professing Jesus and I started coming to Christ. God never left me there. He had me get up off my knees, and I believe that I was hearing from Him in a mighty way. And I went out. I was still Amish. I didn't have a vehicle, and I got in my Bobcat and I drove to my dad and mom. And as I walked in the house that morning, and it was a day that was, I mean, I could see God's hand organized that. My mom was sitting in one chair and my dad was sitting in the other, and it was just like God played this out that they were waiting for me to come over that morning. And I sit down and I had a beautiful, beautiful time. We had a beautiful morning that morning. As I got to apologize and I got to repent to my dad and mom for all the struggles that I caused them and all the problems that maybe I brought into their marriage with my life. And I'll be forever grateful for that opportunity that I had to make those things right. And from that time on, I think I was at the point in my life where they didn't know if I was leaving the Amish or if I was staying Amish. They didn't know. They was hearing things. But it brought a peace between us that we never had before. It brought a closure. It brought a clarity in my life with my mom and dad. And I'm forever thankful for that. And you know, I believe I heard from God that morning because I had my heart conditioned. I believe my heart was conditioned because I was seeking Him. Not just that morning, but I was seeking God. And I know this morning that we will hear from God if we have our heart conditioned. If we have our heart conditioned, we have the soil of our heart, we have that fallow ground of our heart. If we have it cultivated the way God desires that we do, we will hear from Him. And I know that we have Bible school coming in 2 weeks. I know there's many young men going to attend Bible school. And I know we're going to seek God next week for His presence. I'm sure many of us already are. His presence to be here at Bible school, for God to work into each one of our lives. And I know that if we work the fallow grounds of our heart, we will hear from God at Bible school. I know that God wants to speak to us. There's many things that God wants to do in our lives. And I plan to be here at Bible school. I'm seeking God that I hear from Him too, because I need to hear from God too. So so that as a side note there. I'm going to read Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 12, and then I'll endeavor to make some comments. Furthermore, there we beseech thee, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and how you ought to please God, and you would abound more and more. For you know this commandment we gave you from the Lord, and it is the will of God that you sink, that even for even this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Everyone should know his vessel, know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which do not know God. And there no man go on beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is an avenger of all such. As we have therefore there forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And therefore that displeases not man, but God, who has given us the Holy Spirit. But seeing his touch and brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourself are taught of God to love one another. Indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. And I beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly towards them without lacking nothing, and that ye may have lack of nothing. In verse 1, Paul states, although you are doing as we ask you to abound more and more. Paul is telling the Thessalonian people there that they need to grow in God, they need to grow close to God. He is saying that we should continue to grow, and we should never get to a place in our life where we feel that we got there or we arrived. And as God's heart, as I know, as we're Christians here this morning for a number of years, that maybe we forget the importance that we need to be growing with God, and we need to be hearing from God, and we need to be growing close to Him. And those are some of the reasons and some of the needs that we have for Bible school and men's meetings, or even just a week of taking a week ourselves and drawing close to God with our own speaker. I feel as a church, those are things that are very important to God, that we set aside time and we seek Him with our whole heart. Or we never reach that Christian level that God that we think that we need to just stay right there, and we don't need to grow anymore. That's not God's heart. And I know if we ever come to that point, God will show us right away. He'll show us our shortcomings, and He did me. God shows me my shortcomings, and if I'm hearing from God, He will show me. He will show me the areas that I need to grow in. And I know my building project, just that alone, God showed me many things already just in this short couple months of my need of patience. And them were the last things He showed me is patience in my life, is that I'm a hurry up, get it done. And God wants me to have patience. He doesn't want me to be in a hurry. He wants me to just wait on Him. So if I don't hear from God, I'm never going to know the things that He wants to show me, or He wants me to grow in. The Pharisees, they did this. They held themselves out as those who reached this level in their Christian life, that they reached it and they didn't need to grow no more. Everyone had to look up to the Pharisees, so they reached that level where they didn't need to grow no more. And when they did this, they didn't hear from God no more. They quit hearing from God. And when they quit hearing from God, they missed the Son of God. They missed Jesus. They missed Jesus coming into their life. They missed the Savior of the world. The same thing is going to happen to us. If we quit hearing from God, we're going to miss Jesus. We're going to miss the things He wants to do in our life. We may know all about Him. We may know all about the things He wants to do, but we're going to miss the very things that He wants to work in our hearts. Paul, he addressed this subject in the book of Philippians. You see, Paul, when he reached that upper level of that religious hierarchy, he was the Jew of the Jews. He was the top, at the top where he couldn't go any higher. He addressed this situation that he was facing there in Philippians 3, is verses 4 through 14. Although I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he have where he might trust in the flesh, I the more circumcised the eighth day, stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, he prosecuted the church. Touching righteousness, which is the law, he was blameless. But what things I have gained for me, that I might count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I counted all things, but the loss of excellency in the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already obtained, neither have already perfect, but I follow after, which I may apprehend, that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing, that I am forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the high calling. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in God in Christ Jesus. He said, although I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, he was circumcised on the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, touching the law, he was a Pharisee. Right there, Paul established himself as an exalted leader in the Jewish religion. He followed the religious requirements of circumcision at the proper time. He had the pristine family background. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew. He studied at the highest universities for religion. He studied at the Yales and the Princetons and the highest religions of religious school he could go to. He was a prosecutor of the church. He chased Jesus' followers. He took them back in chains. And we just see how we can be deceived at times. We can be deceived in doing all these things. This is how Paul got deceived. And we can be deceived too. When Paul was that way, he did not please God. But we see Paul coming to the end of himself. We see Paul coming to the end of himself and coming to Christ. In verse 7 he says, but what things were gained to me that I counted for loss in Christ Jesus? Yeah, doubtless that I count all these but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Paul's reputation, it had to go. All the progress that Paul made in his religious life, all the rank and file he had gained, all the honor he had gained from being made a member of the highest council, it had to go. It meant nothing to Paul compared to the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. And that's my heart this morning. We need to be there. We need to compare all these things we do in life. We need to compare it to the knowledge of knowing Jesus as Savior. That's where it's at. It does not matter a whole lot of what happened or where we go. Brothers, we need to have that heart that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that he's our all in all. It pleases God this morning when we're there. It pleases God when we have our heart in tune with Jesus. In order to gain Christ and to be found in him, it comes by faith this morning, faith in Jesus. Brother Mose had a message on faith in God and not in man. I believe this morning that it's easy to look around and put faith in a lot of other things this morning. But it's God's heart that we put faith in God. As a Jew, Paul was trying to get right with God in his own righteousness. And he found out how wrong he was. And just the short time before I started seeking God, I had to find out how wrong I was too. I started putting a lot of stock in a lot of other things. And God wanted them things to be gone. And he's still showing me this. He's still showing me today. To please God, we need to have faith in him. Verse 10 tells us that we may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He's talking about knowing Jesus this morning. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, neither were we already perfect, but we follow after, that I may apprehend Christ. We can't find ourselves this morning that we attained. If we attained, we will not please God. And this is not talking about not pursuing after. Paul is actually telling us here that he's pressing towards the goal of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. It's not talking about talking to our neighbors. It's not talking about that. He's talking about pursuing after God. When Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians here, he was already preaching Christ for 30 years. And as we read the Bible and we read through it continuously at times, we forget how long the gaps are in between this. Paul was already preaching for 30 years, And he did not obtain, he did not reach that level that he needed to. Paul's heart is here that we continue to grow in him. And Paul's heart is that he wanted to continue to grow in his walk with God. And that's his heart for us this morning, that we continue to grow, we continue to draw close to God. We know this morning when things don't grow, we know they're dead. And that's a sobering thing to think about if we look at our life sometimes and we wonder why we feel a little bit dry and a little bit stale. We're not growing the way God wants us to. God wants us to grow in him. Or we can look at it this way. We can look at all the forms of transportation. You got a horse and buggy, you got trains, ships, cars, and you got planes. When these things come to a stop, they'll all just sit right there, and they're fine, except for the plane. The plane will come down. And our lives are like a plane this morning. When we're not excelling in Christ, we're probably coasting. We're probably coasting downward, and there's eventually going to be a crash. God's heart is that we excel in our Christian life, and we continue to grow and continue to hear from God. If we shut off these little avenues, and we don't hear from God, and we don't get convicted on things that we know that he wants us to grow in, we're going to come down. Our plane's going to start coming down. And I know that life's not easy. I understand that. And I know we face things in life that we didn't expect. I know that maybe there's things that try to bring our plane down at times. But that's not God's heart. God's heart is that we overcome them and we go on. But like Paul faced these things in life. We must be like Paul. We must press forward with faith or we're going to fall. Going back to Thessalonians here, Paul gives us some guidelines to help us see if we're truly living a life that's pleasing to God or not. In verse 2, Paul tells us, "For you know the commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, that it is the will of God that we should abstain from fornication." And it's God's heart that we remain pure. It's God's heart this morning that we remain pure and holy before him. And verse 4 tells us that everyone should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That's talking about controlling our own bodies. And this is not talking about just controlling our own bodies in a sensual way. It's talking about controlling our life, controlling it in every area of our life. It's talking about what time we can get up in the mornings and how our devotional life with God looks, what it looks like when we get up in our private time with God. It's not God's heart that we get up and just go straight to work and not meet with him in the morning. He wants us to be able to deny ourselves sleep and seek him in the mornings. And maybe fast days. We got an opportunity next week to have some fast days. We can bring our body, we can possess our vessels in that way. He's telling us not to live like the Gentiles in lustful passion. When Paul writes about the Gentiles, he's talking about the world. The world is the Gentiles. In those days, the Gentiles... I'll have that in another place. God calls us not to live in impurity, but into holiness. And I know holiness is a characteristic that pleases God. The Bible tells us that without holiness, we cannot please God. Verse 7, "For God has called us not into uncleanness, but into holiness." The goal in these rules that Paul gives us there is to teach us to live a life that pleases God and to live a life that is under control. Many, many, many men live a life that's out of control. These scriptures tell us here about the Greek and Roman, their lifestyles that they lived in those days. They had a... If you read through some of the history of the Greek and Romans, you'd be astounded at the impurity and the immorality that went on in those days. But the world around us is almost as bad today. We are almost reached that same level. It's talking about having our passions under control. To live a life pleasing to God, we're going to have these things under control. God's heart is we control every area of our life. Maybe we control our appetites. Maybe it's an appetite for money. Maybe it's an appetite for food. The world around us has many addictions, drugs, alcohol. To live a life of drug addiction and alcohol addiction, I lived some of that in my life. I know all about it. Your life is out of control. When that's the case, you're not living, you don't have anything under control when that's the case. God did not call us to impurity, but into holiness. Leviticus 11:45 tells us, For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You should therefore be holy, for I am holy. That is why God does not want us to let these things control us, because we can't worship all those things and worship God too. God wants us to have every area of our life under control because of that. The busyness of life, it can't control us. If we're too busy, if we allow ourselves to go down that road of being too busy, we will never have time for the things of God. We will always be too busy with other things. Verse 8 tells us that whosoever discards this does not discard man, but he discards God who gives us the Holy Spirit. So if we discard God that gives us the Holy Spirit this morning, we can't hear from Him. We can't hear from God. We will have mass struggles in our Christian life. There was a preacher speaking to a large group of people. And this is a story I found here. It was a revival preacher speaking to a large group of people. And he held up a glass. And he was asking the people that how he could get the air out of that glass. And all kinds of comments were coming in and all kinds of advice was coming in. Someone was saying something about getting a vacuum and sucking it out and all those things. And he went on to explain that victory in our Christian life cannot be accomplished by sucking out sin. It can only be accomplished by... He took a pitcher of water and he filled it up. He filled it up with water and he said it can only be accomplished by being filled. So and I thought about that this morning. I could talk about these things about sucking out sin out of our life. Unless we have that hunger and thirst to fill our lives with the Spirit of God, we'll never be able to suck out enough sin to live a Christian life. Verse 9 talks about brotherly love. We can't live a Christian life or a holy life or a life pleasing to God if we don't love our brothers. And that when you have a big brotherhood, when you have a lot of brothers, and if we have unsurrenderedness among us, if I have unsurrenderedness in my own heart, if I have areas that I got my little things that I have that I don't want to surrender, this won't happen. This is not going to happen. We're not going to have brotherly love. We're going to struggle with our own selves. And Andy sent that message this morning. It really touched my heart that, you know, Jesus prayed 2,000 years ago. He sent that text message that had that on there, that we would be one. And if we have unsurrenderedness in our heart this morning, we're never going to be one. We're never going to have brotherly love. We're never going to be one. And it's God's heart that we're one. God wants us to live a life. In verse 11 it says, God wants us to live a life and to mind our own affairs, working with our hands. You know, this does not mean, that verse this morning does not mean that we don't share with our neighbors. That don't mean that we don't rebuke sin. To be minding our own affairs this morning, it means that we're going to not gossip about our brothers in the church. We want to have a brotherly love. The worst thing we can do is gossip about our brothers and talk things about our brothers, and those things bring destruction in our own heart and in the brotherhood. Brother Leonard had a message on this at boot camp. He had a whole message on brotherly love, and we need to be there, brothers. God's heart is that we love one another, and if we have differences, God wants to work in our own heart first, but God's heart is that we love one another and we put differences away, and we have one goal in mind, that we walk towards Him. It's God's heart that we watch our tongue. We watch what we say, because they weigh a lot and they hurt at times. And verse 12 tells us that we walk honestly among men. Paul's concerned about our testimony for Jesus. You know, we're to be known for our Christian life, right? We're to be known for standing up for what's right. We're Christians. We're to be known not to do anything ever to mar our Christian life. That is a bad testimony. Paul's saying that our walk with the Lord is an important reminder to the world. It's a reminder that Jesus is coming back someday. And we are that light, and we are that salt to the world, and we're never to mar that. Paul makes a pretty big deal about it because he cares what the world thinks. Because he wants to win the respect of the world. And Paul went on as far as to say that I heard a brother preach a message on this that says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Adrian said that this morning. Do we imitate God in every way of our life? It's a profound thing to think about. How many of us can say that this morning? Follow me as I follow Christ. Paul could, and I believe it's Paul's heart that we could say that. That we could live a life in such a way that we should be able to say, follow me. And that's an amazing thought to think about. It seems like you'd be a proudful guy to say something like that. And it makes me cringe to think about saying something like that. How we live among the people we work with, it matters. We're going to have a reputation one way or another. Either I'm going to be a good boss or I'm going to be a bad boss. I'm going to have a testimony one way or another. If they see me show up late for work, they're going to come late for work. If I treat them bad, that hurts the name of Jesus. To have a testimony of Jesus this morning is what it's all about. He did not want it. How we live is noticed and remembered. And if you work with a large group of people, you're probably going to notice at times when you walk up to the group that they quit talking and they just... That's because they're saying things they didn't want you to hear, and that's okay. Those things are okay when that happens because the unbelievers, they're observing us. They're observing us, and they know the things that they can say around us and the things that they can't. They don't separate our faith from our behavior or the things they see us do, and they should not. They shouldn't do that either. Verse 11, Paul's concerned. Concern was that the believers was not dependent on anybody. When we're healthy, we are not to be a burden to anyone in the church. He did not want anyone to evade the responsibilities of taking care of their own. 1 Peter tells us, and I believe that goes, that verse right there, I believe that goes with taking care of our dad and moms also. Because there's a blessing that comes out of that. When our parents reach an older age, when my dad reached that older age where it took a lot of our time for us as a family to care for him, he couldn't get out of his chair, he couldn't do anything on his own. That maybe brought a big surrenderness to my dad. I know he didn't like it that much, but that brought a closeness to us as brothers to our parents because of the time that we got to spend in those last couple years. Even though it seemed like a lot at times to take a day every 2 weeks and spend it there, it was a tremendous... As I look back now, I'm so thankful for that opportunity, so thankful that I was able to do that with my dad. 1 Peter tells us that we're to keep our conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so when they speak against us as evildoers, they will see our good deeds, and God will get the glory. God will get glory on the day of visitation. This is not word for word on that. We better live our life among our workers in that way, to be willing to be taken advantage of. There's times that I believe it's a testimony when we allow ourselves to be taken advantage of, and they know it. They know that if you resist, that's what the world does. They're looking for an example. The world is starving for an example that's pleasing to God, because if we respond to them the same way the world does, there's no testimony there if we don't allow them to have the advantage at times. I know that the brothers in Shelbyville, they had this opportunity this summer. I should say this fall. This fall they had this opportunity with one of the neighbors that was at the end of himself. And they was reaching out to him, and they was visiting him and trying to bring Christ to him. And they were sharing with him. And I believe on his day of visitation, he got to see Christians, and they laid their life out for him. And if it never worked for him, It worked for another brother that was he was going to a church in town, and there was another young man that had an interest in his life that they ran into and they got to know over this period of time. And this young man was trying to help him also because he had a lot of needs. It didn't end up well for that guy. He ended up taking his life. But now the young man that they came acquainted with over that time, he was now he's coming around. They see him at the work days. He's showing up, and he's seen a life. He seen a life that was attractive to him. And that's God's heart this morning, that if we live a life pleasing to God, it'll be attractive to the world around us. Does a relationship with Jesus improve year by year? Are we closer to God this year than we was last? And I know that it's New Year's, and I know many people make those New Year's resolutions and they don't last. But a walk with God will change us and it'll last. A walk with God will give us them desires that last more than 1 week. It'll give us the desires that will prevail us through the whole year. Do we allow the Spirit to install holiness in us? Are we filled with that this morning? Are we filled with God that there's hardly room for other things? And if it is, our life is going to inspire others. And I ask myself this question. Do I live a life pleasing to God? When people look at me, do they see that example in my life? It's a good thing to challenge myself with. And I believe that as I share this message with you, that I better look at myself. And I do seek God that I can be that. So, and I know I'm not, for me to sit there and say like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ, I want to be there, but I want to be that. So, are we encouraging people like Paul was? Paul was encouraging people with his words, with his life, and I want to be that also. He knew life was hard. He knew things were not going to be easy. And as we're going to turn to 2 Timothy here, we see Paul, he writes this letter to Timothy. And this letter that I believe he was writing Timothy was to help him live a life that was pleasing to God. And, you know, we see that as Paul writes this letter. We know that as John shared this morning, he shared that just to do as you know how to know what to do. Just do the things you're supposed to do. Timothy was doing that. I believe Timothy was living a life, a good life. I believe that he was living a life free from sin. I believe he was forgiven. But Paul was demanding Timothy that he abound more, that there was more to come out of his life. As Paul writes this letter to Timothy, as I think about this, I'm intrigued. As Paul writes this letter to Timothy, he's chained between soldiers in Rome. He's chained between some of the Roman soldiers. And I believe that as he's chained there, he's making these correlations between, you know, he starts talking about a soldier. He's viewing the Roman soldiers as he's looking at them. And he sees the difficulties that these Roman soldiers, they endured for the Roman government. And it reminds him, I believe that it reminds him of the situations that we're going to face in life and the difficulties we're going to see that we should also endure for the sake of the kingdom of God. And this is a situation that Paul writes to Timothy in. And as I looked at that situation and I looked into the life of what entailed to be a Roman soldier, just because the life of the Roman soldiers was a hard life. I looked into that and I seen that the life the Roman soldiers lived, it was very hard. They had to enlist. It was the law that they enlisted at age 19 or 20 years old. They enlisted to the army. And when they did, they were bound to serve for 20 years. They committed themselves for 20 years into the military. And if they didn't have a family when they went into the military, they never had one when they came out. It was in their 40s. And to me, that was a challenging thought to think of. When I looked up, this is what I found. And so when Paul refers to us as soldiers this morning, he's warning us that we're Christians. And as being a Christian, life is going to be not always going to be easy. I should say life will be hard. He's warning us that we're going to face some things in life that make it difficult. Because the Roman soldiers in the army, they faced some very serious battles. There's times that they were at war. There were times that they were losing members of their army. And Paul's telling us that we're going to face some of those same things. 6,000 men in each camp, and they marched up to 25 miles a day. This is when they were not in combat. And they stopped every night, and they built a camp. And their camp was big enough to hold 6,000 people. And they built massive walls around it to protect them from the enemies. And they had wooden gates on it. And every morning after breakfast, they had bread and water for breakfast. They took it all down, and they did it all over again. They marched another 25 days, and they did, or 25 miles. And they did all this for the earthly kingdom. Paul's telling Timothy, how much more are we going to have to endure for the kingdom of God? He's telling Timothy this is not going to be an easy life, that we're going to have many things we're going to face. And enduring this difficulty is pleasing to God if we endure it joyfully. And it's very easy to walk through this life if you're enduring difficulties and to just be humdrum about it and not have no joy in your life. That's not pleasing to God. A Christian life is joyful because it's our strength. Once we lose the joy, we lose our strength. I'll read 1 Timothy. It's 2 Timothy 2, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 12. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man who strive for masteries yet is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first a partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to the gospel. Therein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we were dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth himself, and he cannot deny himself. We see here Paul is very concerned about Timothy. He's concerned about his courage. Paul's life, which was pleasing to God, it gave him a burden to make sure that Timothy was living a life that was pleasing to God. And this is the heart of God this morning. This is the heart of Paul, that we have a burden for our brothers and sisters. And I definitely want that I have a burden for my brothers and sisters here, that we all live a life that's pleasing to God. And we all live a life that's encouraging. All live a life that's seeking God and getting direction from God and seeking for the best that God has for us. Paul is telling Timothy to stand up for Jesus throughout this letter. Paul is encouraging him and exhorting him to be strong and to recognize that being a Christian like Jesus, he was going to suffer some. And so are we. We're going to suffer some. And God's heart is that it's okay. And it's okay. But I believe that should give us a burden to be okay to suffer at times. This life we live, when we look at the world around us, it should give us a burden. It should give us a burden. Maybe just the people we work with this morning, it should give us a burden. As they walk through life and they grind from check to check and they have no purpose in life and there's not much joy in their life. It should give us a burden this morning that we can reach out to them. No man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that have chosen him to be a soldier. Paul's telling Timothy not to get distracted from the gospel. And I know when if you're a soldier in the army, you were a soldier in the Roman army, you wasn't entangled with the affairs of this life. And that's a challenge for me to think about. There was no entanglement. They were all in. They had to all be in. They had to be in all the way. In our day, we got so many good things that we can do. There's so many things that we get tangled with that we miss the best that God has for us, I believe, at times. And Paul wanted Timothy to be aware that the gospel was supposed to be central, what he did in life. And he didn't want Timothy, like many others, to go astray or to be consumed with the things of this life. It's not God's heart that we're so focused on so many things that has no eternal value. In chapter 3, it says we could have a form of godliness but deny the power. And we can do that. We can come to church and we can come to church for, I can come to church every Sunday and I can look like a Christian. But what are the things that are coming out of my life? Them are the things that are going to, the form is what I'm going to look like. But what are the things that are coming out of my life? What is the burden that I have in my heart for the things of God? And as I share this morning, these things challenge me. So I'm not sharing these to you. These things challenge me in my own life. And I know that if I want to get to heaven someday, and these are God's words, they got to be alive in my own heart. And I know that. Paul was warning Timothy, and he's warning us. And he was warning Timothy. What about us this morning? He's warning us also. He wanted Timothy to live a life pleasing to God. He didn't want him to get sidetracked the way many people do, with the best of intentions, and they allow themselves to get all caught up in the good things. That's not God's heart this morning. God, I mean, we can get caught up in many good things, but they are not to be, they're part of our Christian life. They're not our Christian life. Many people get caught up in their own little mission. Some people get caught up in a humanitarian aid or going door to door or street preaching. They got their own little gospel. And some get caught up in community living. And I testify that in my young Christian life, I got caught up in with some brothers on street preaching. And we took that little thing right there. And I mean, it almost came to the point of people weren't street preaching with us. We was wondering if they were Christians or not because they didn't have the burden. You know, those things are part of our Christian life. They're not our Christian life, and we need to be central. When we allow these things to take over, we'll get out of step with God. God's not willing that that happens to us. Paul wanted Timothy to keep in the forefront of his mind the reality. And that reality was that Jesus Christ raises people from the dead. And he raises people from sin to life. If we can keep that in our mind this morning, that what we have to share, the things that we have in our life, that they can lift people from sin to life, that gives us something to share with our neighbors and those. And that's what we should be sharing with people. First Corinthians 2:2, Paul tells us, "For I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's the gospel that we are to have this morning. God gave us many privileges, and He gave us many privileges to mankind. And one of the greatest ones that He gave us this morning is His Bible, is His Word. We don't have to wonder what God wants from us to live a Christian life. We have His Word, and we have it right here. If we read through here, we apply this, and we seek God, and we apply this Word to our life, it'll show us. This Word will show us what He wants from us. There's so many hurting people, and with the ability to be able to share the gospel with them is a powerful thing. And to give them hope, it is powerful. There's nothing this morning more powerful than hope. I know that if you've ever been down on your, some people say down in your luck, and someone brings you the message of hope, which one brother did to me one day when I was struggling through life, he brought me hope. He brought me hope, and I'll forever remember that. I was trying to be right with God, and I was trying to do things that were pleasing to God, I should say. And he brought me the gospel that raises people from sin, and he brought me that hope, and I'll be forever thankful for that. But one of the things that you're gonna run into when you take the gospel to many people, like we went to the streets. We took the gospel to many people, and we endeavored to share with them, endeavored to help them, and I don't know what all we tried to do. One thing you found out is not many people want it. They want your financial help, but not many people want the gospel help. They don't want to be raised from sin to life. If we're a Christian this morning and we don't suffer for our faith, we're in the minority. Around the world this morning, the people are suffering for their faith. And here we sit, we got all kinds of freedom. We got the freedom to serve God with no fear that anybody's coming through those doors to take us to jail. We got freedom to go to the prayer meetings on Saturday mornings, and this morning we have the freedom to do these things. But sometimes it seemed like it had a higher value to those people that were hiding in the tunnels and seeking God. It was more value to them. I wonder how good it is for us sometimes not to have all this. During this time, Paul wrote this letter to Timothy. He was in prison for no other reason than for following Jesus. Don't take me the wrong way. I don't think we should look for someone to persecute us or to mistreat us. No one wants that. But what Paul is telling Timothy here is, and he's telling you and me, that we must be ready and willing to suffer if the occasion should rise. Paul goes on to tell Timothy that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Just to live a life pleasing to God, we'll be there. We're going to be there. You know, there's all different kinds of persecution this morning. There's different degrees of it. But at the very least, God wants us to be ready to suffer for standing up for what's right and standing up for what God has for us. To be a Christian, we better not fit in to society. We better stand out from society around us. To live a life pleasing to God, we can't fit into the pattern of the world. There's a story here of a Catholic pastor. His name was Jose. He was a Roman Catholic. He was given the assignment to study the Baptist. This was in Spain where this happened at. This is a true story. He was given the assignment to study the Baptist and to find out and maybe to show them how wrong they were, how they got deceived. He was going to do the study to help the Romans know how to defeat them, refute them when they came to him with their witnessing. And he began to study on what the Baptists believed, and he made some appointments, and he was meeting with the Baptist priest or the Baptist preachers, and he was interviewing them, he was taking notes, and he was going to try to show them where they was wrong at. In the course of this investigation, he spoke with the Baptist pastor. As this Baptist pastor shared the gospel with him, when he realized what the Baptist was saying was true and it was coming from the Word of God, he fell under heavy conviction and he received the Holy Spirit. He received Jesus. This morning, I believe that if we're deceived, I believe that we can be deceived and we would never know it. But I believe God will bring someone to show us if we're deceived. And I believe that if we got a sincere heart, I believe Jose here had a sincere heart, and God showed him. But it cost him tremendous. He went back to the bishop, the Catholic priest, and he was dismissed from the priesthood, and he was put on the streets with nothing more than clothes on his back. He was a young man, and he went on home to his mom and dad's house. And when he knocked on the door, they already was aware that he left the priesthood and he left the Catholic faith. They told him that they no longer have a son, and they slammed the door. But this pastor took him in, and he ended up becoming one of the leading evangelist pastors in all of Spain, but not without paying a heavy price. He paid a heavy price for his ministry. To live a life pleasing to God, sometimes we're going to have to pay a heavy price. I know that you'll pay a heavy price at times. Like Paul, many Christians, they're still in prison for their faith. Paul is saying that the call to follow Christ is a call to be ready and willing to suffer should Jesus call us to do so. Verse 9, Paul says that in spite of the suffering and being in jail, the gospel is not bound. The Word of God, the amazing thing about God's Word is from the beginning of time, From the beginning of Christianity, people have been trying to stomp out the gospel. The Romans, they tried it. They tried to stomp it out, and it overtook their country. The Russians, they tried it. Their government failed. The Chinese are trying it right now, and I believe their government will not make it because God's in control. When a religious setting, when it tries to put the fire of God out, it spreads. The Anabaptists, the fire spread. When the Anabaptists were being persecuted and taken to the stake, it spread everywhere. In verse 10, Paul is urging Timothy to endure, to hold on, to not give in because the mission is too great. The stakes are too high. The price of failure is way too costly. We think of the price of failure this morning. We think about how costly it is. We talked about hope. What about hopelessness? If we lose our way and you're in hell for 300 years, you want to know that hopeless feeling? There will never be, you'll never get out of there. This morning when I think of hopelessness, I think of that. I think of that hopeless feeling. Paul would be telling us this morning that we need to endure. No one says that living a life pleasing to God is going to be easy. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us how hard it was for him. Paul says, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the depths of the sea. He says, on journeys I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers. He said, dangers from my own people. The dangers of open country, dangers among false brethren. He had many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, and without food. Then he goes on to mention the fact that he has a daily pressure of not knowing how the churches are doing. He was a burden on Paul's heart on how the churches were doing. You know, Paul would still be there this morning. He would still be wondering how the churches are doing, how are things going in the churches. In verse 10, he said, this is why I endure all things for the elect's sake, that I may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul uses the word elect, and that means chosen by God. But the focus was not on Paul being chosen by God this morning. It was that the hearts and minds of those who follow Christ would remain faithful. That was his heart. His heart was that they remained faithful and to make sure that they did whatever it took that everyone could hear about Jesus. That was his heart. Paul's passion for seeing others come to Christ, to know Christ, was great. He was dedicated. And he was so dedicated that he lived with determination to make sure everyone got to hear the gospel. And that challenges me. That challenges me yet. To make sure everyone hears the gospel, what if we just take our own little road to make sure everyone down our road hears about Jesus? What if we go knocking door to door? And I know many people do that. Paul's telling Timothy here, and he's telling you and me, that if we're followers for Christ, and we take the name of Jesus upon ourselves, and we call ourselves his disciples, we should be willing to endure. We should live with that determination that we will not quit when the going gets tough. That we may not give up. And that'll be a life that's pleasing to God. We're going to fight on if that's the case. In closing, the emphasis here on a life pleasing to God is on being an authentic Christian. And that's being an authentic Christian this morning. And turning and walking away from God is not an option. Turning and walking away from a brotherhood that's serving God is not an option. You know, we know those today. When you go in the streets, you run into many people who say there is not a God and there's no risen Savior. Maybe they've never known Him personally, but the trials and the tribulation, they'll separate the rest of them. You got all those; they're going to separate a lot of others. You know, if we go out witnessing, we may find many people deny that there is a God. But what about the one that stumbles? What about the person who goes through a period of doubt in his life and he runs into some sin? Verse 13 tells us, if we are faithless, he'll remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I would like to believe this morning that the nature of God is that we stumble and falter in a moment of weakness. And we do something that's less than faithful, he's not going to retaliate against us. I would like to believe that. That's my heart this morning. I hope it's not controversial. His nature is faithfulness, and we know that. And if we're bought by the blood of Jesus this morning, and we're filled with His Spirit, and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I know that the Bible says He'll never leave us or He'll never forsake us. And I view God this morning that way. I view God as a merciful God. Not one that overlooks sin, but one that knows where our heart is and knows that we're at. And He draws us back into His presence. I know that this morning. And that's the God that we serve this morning. He is a merciful God and He's a faithful God. You know, when David had that failure there in the Bible, and Nathan went to David and he started explaining to David the situation where this man took all them sheep, or he took the neighbor's sheep when David had all these many sheep of his own, and he asked David, what should we do with that man? And David, at the beginning, David wanted to pass judgment on him. He wanted to be really hard on him. But when Nathan showed David that it was him, David cried out for mercy. David wanted God's mercy on his life. And I believe that's where we need to be this morning. We need to be a merciful person and full of love and compassion. Timothy was probably looking at Paul in prison. And he was probably viewing all the suffering that Paul was enduring. And he probably had all this doubt in his mind. And Paul probably knew that Timothy was looking at this. And he seen what happened to him. And Paul maybe thought that Paul was maybe wondering whether Timothy would go on with the faith or not. So he wrote this letter to encourage him, to strengthen him. You know, the situation was less than ideal, but Paul was encouraging him that he'd be ready to help, that God would be ready to help him if he needed it. And God's there this morning. If we need help, God's more than ready and more than willing to stick out His arm and draw us in and to help us. And He'll put us back on our feet. So if we continue to serve Him, to be a Christian this morning, He'll help us back on our feet this morning as long as we continue to serve Him. And to be a Christian this morning that's pleasing to God, we don't have a backup plan. There's no backup plan. We need to go on. And there's no backup plan. Eternity's coming and it's coming with us one way or the other. That's all I have to share. And I realize I wrote my notes sometimes too close together and I get mixed up. So hope that came out well. So thank you.